Cliff Robertson has gone west. NASA's twin lunar orbiters are on their way. And San Francisco's Fleet Week will feature an exhibit called Navy in Space. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 12th, 2011. Well, have you had enough 9/11 anniversary hype over the weekend? The 10th anniversary was certainly an appropriate time for an observance, at Ground Zero and elsewhere. But politicians used it for photo ops, the media turned loose gratuitous live team coverage, and even U.S. Homeland Security exploited the anniversary. The extent to which the general news media wallowed in hype makes me wonder whether their research showed that people really wanted that much coverage, or whether they just spotted an excuse to take a break from covering actual news. The local news I watch most on my local CBS affiliate spent an average of the first 7 minutes of every local newscast presenting canned 9/11 anniversary segments. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg was scourged for allegedly excluding police, firefighters, and clergymen from the official commemoration to make room for all the bloviating politicians jostling for podium time. And TSA seized the opportunity late last week to again warn the nation about the threat posed by small airplanes, despite admitting there was no reason to suspect an attack using GA aircraft. On Thursday last week, just in time to upstage President Obama's speech to Congress, news broke that DHS and TSA were monitoring for car bomb attacks in New York and/or Washington. Again, the agencies admitted that they had no specific or credible intelligence that Al-Qaeda or its affiliates were plotting attacks in the U.S. to coincide with the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. I chose to take a quiet moment yesterday to remember the anniversary. I sure hope that by the 20th anniversary of 9/11, it hasn't turned into just one more excuse for furniture stores to advertise 50% off. The world knew Cliff Robertson as an Oscar and Emmy-winning actor. We, of course, knew him as a passionate aviator and the first chairman of EAA's Young Eagles program. Cliff left us at the age of 88 on Saturday. The role of aviation in his life was confirmed by the photo chosen for the announcement on his website, showing him clearly enjoying a sailplane flight over scenic mountainous terrain. It's an interesting coincidence that his passing falls on the weekend of the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Cliff was climbing through 7,500 directly over the World Trade Center in his Baron when American Airlines Flight 11 made the first strike on the North Tower. His flight was cut short when all aircraft over the U.S. were ordered to land immediately. Read a touching personal remembrance of Cliff Robertson from contributor Richard Bach, dated September 11th, at aero-news.net. NASA's twin Lunar Grail spacecraft, short for Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, lifted off from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida just after 9 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday to study the moon in unprecedented detail. Grail A and Grail B will arrive in lunar orbit on December 31st and January 1st, respectively, flying in tandem orbits around the moon to measure its gravity field. Grail will answer long-standing questions about the moon and give scientists a better understanding of how Earth and other rocky planets in the solar system were formed. Veteran astronauts Dan Birch, Rick Searfoss, John Harrington, and Dick Gordon will be VIP guests at San Francisco Fleet Week's Navy in Space exhibit. During their 10 missions, they have collectively traveled in space for 262 days, performed 44 hours of spacewalks, and journeyed to the moon. The Navy in Space exhibit features unique artifacts from the W Foundation and multiple museums. The emphasis is on the naval history of space exploration and how discoveries in science and technology allowed the U.S. to be the leader in space travel. The unique exhibit gives the public a rare opportunity to touch and hold space-flown artifacts. Admission to the exhibit is free on October 8th and 9th at Marina Green. Find details at www.thewfoundation.com. Up next on ANN, the FAA fines Alaska Airlines for a maintenance issue. Russia's president says Boeing and Airbus are safer than his country's domestic airliners. And cameras may soon be rated in gigapixels. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 12th. I'm Paul Plack. Senate Commerce Committee Chair Jay Rockefeller, a West Virginia Democrat, has launched a new round of dueling statements and news releases concerning funding for the FAA. Rockefeller Thursday urged the House of Representatives to approve a clean extension of the FAA before the agency's funding runs out on September 16th. Quote, "I hope the House will pass a clean extension of funds for the FAA so Congress can focus on negotiating a compromise FAA deal, not wasting time and effort fighting over the extension. Our aviation workforce and infrastructure is far too important to the economy, and partisan games should not be a part of the FAA extension as they were in July," unquote. House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman John Mica, a Florida Republican, has not responded. To be fair, passing a clean bill has been a problem for both parties. The Republicans want to cut airline subsidies, and the Democrats want to include changes in labor laws to make it easier to unionize employees at FedEx. The FAA is proposing a $590,000 civil penalty against Alaska Airlines for allegedly operating a Boeing 737 on more than 2,000 flights when it was not in compliance with federal aviation regulations. On January 18, 2010, a flight deck ceiling fire occurred in a 737-400 while it was parked at the gate of Anchorage International Airport. Officials determined the fire was caused by chafed wiring that resulted from improper installation of a hose clamp. The airline had most recently performed maintenance in the burned area in August of 2008. The company has 30 days to respond. Following an accident which killed 43 people, including nearly the entire locomotive ice hockey team, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has called for radical changes for Russia's civil aviation system. Here's something you never would have heard during the Cold War. Bloomberg reports there is a segment of the government calling for the decommissioning of the Soviet-era Yak-42s, and the president himself has called for a reduction in the number of airlines operating in the country, as well as an increase in the purchase of foreign aircraft, such as those made by Boeing and Airbus, to make flying safer in Russia. The Yak-42, which went down, had been flying for more than 30 years, according to Bloomberg. The New York Times reports 8 of the airplanes have gone down since they entered service in 1975, accounting for nearly 600 fatalities. Boeing already has 117 aircraft on order from Russian airlines, according to its website, most of them single-aisle 737s. Aeroflot has 87 single-aisle Airbus planes in service and is negotiating for an A380. A contract to supply Boeing military aircraft with a CV-22 color helmet-mounted display for the Air Force Special Operations Command has been awarded to Elbit Systems of America, bringing some work to Fort Worth, Texas. The value of the contract was not specified by the company, beyond the statement that it won't materially affect its financials. The display includes full helmet tracking capability and effectively meets the command's objectives, merging helmet tracking and display technology with new color symbology for day and night vision goggle missions. And finally today, remember when upgrading from 3 to 5 megapixels in a still camera was news? Yeah, Paul, you're so 2002. Well, an 80-megapixel aerial camera was unveiled last week by Trimble. The TAC 80MP is said to extend the range of applications for existing medium-format aerial cameras, utilizing features such as forward motion compensation technology. Trimble says the TAC 80MP allows aerial service providers to fly faster or increase ground sampling distance, enabling fixed-wing aircraft to deliver results previously achievable only using helicopters. Weighing less than 6.6 pounds, the TAC 80MP is also adaptable to a variety of UAVs. Availability is expected in the fourth quarter. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about those times when instinct makes us do the wrong thing instead of continuing to fly the airplane. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.